on the financial side, things are looking much better. On the natural resources side, they've got a much more diversified strategy for development. So, of course, there are still secondary phosphates there. They've also got aggregate, which can be used for a wide array of construction. And if it's properly branded, there's much potential for, as part of the reclamation process, actually, to sell the aggregate, the pinnacles, which need to be handled before you can reclaim the land on the top of the island. So there are lots of aspects of the natural resources that could be developed. There's fisheries. They've set up a deep sea mining exploration company also in international waters. So they're actually planning much better than they have in the past.
One of the most interesting possibilities that you touched on there is the idea of creating a boutique tile production industry. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yes. So essentially, Nauru's dolomite and some of the other kinds of industrial minerals that they have, they are unique in terms of where they are found on the island. And in terms of the market for especially kitchen tops and household tiling, if you can create a brand around this stone coming from a remote island in the Pacific, it would have its own allure, and it can actually create a premium for that kind of household market. So that's key to success of that sector, and I've seen that happen in other parts of the world. In Vermont, for example, where I used to live, Vermont has been able to brand itself as a location, whether it's for the slate that comes from the state, which is also used in household tiling and so on, or roofing and other uses. So the same can certainly happen with Nauru. And unfortunately, previous economic analysis didn't give as much importance to the branding factor. And I think Nauru is very well positioned to brand itself because of its location as being, you know, a remote island and so on. And people are willing to pay premiums for those kinds of origin.
Rehabilitation of the former phosphate lands has not progressed all that far. Is this a necessary step for sustainable development on the island?
Absolutely, yes. So reclamation has to be center stage, and that's where Nauru has been somewhat deficient in keeping up with the reclamation process. And so the Nauru reclamation efforts that were set forward with the original settlement with Australia, the legal settlement that happened several years ago, that money was not used as much for reclamation. However, now what we see as a possible win-win opportunity is that in order for the reclamation to move forward, if you can sell the aggregate, the pinnacles, which will be part of the reclamation process itself, then you can actually subsidize the reclamation.
The international financial community has a role to play in all of this, but Nauru's history of mismanagement could be off-putting. How much progress do you think Nauru's made in terms of financial management?
The Intergenerational Trust Fund has been established, and the first contributions have already been made. It has an independent auditing mechanism, and the money cannot be touched until 2032. So it's going to be in the very long-term planning horizon that they're thinking about this, which is really good because they want, you know, you want to not have a short-term approach. The other aspect on the financial side is that Nauru was admitted to the International Monetary Fund just a few months ago, which is a very positive sign because in order to join the IMF and the World Bank Group, there are very strict guidelines which the country has to follow, and the World Bank Group and especially the IMF keeps track of the financial management of the country. So the admission to IMF is a sign that there is some level of confidence within the international financial community in the country. And even though Westpac Bank, for example, did withdraw and had some concerns earlier in the year, Bendigo Bank has continued to stay the course in Nauru and has over 5,000 accounts now registered, and that's about, you know, the population is about just over 10,000, so that's pretty good. So I think the financial outlook is better. Of course, you need very careful scrutiny on all sides, but these are all very positive signs. A lot of this is, in fact, possible because right now Nauru has had this cash flow from the detention center, and one cannot ignore the fact that that cash flow has helped Nauru balance its books. And so even though there are some other, you know, political ramifications why that particular initiative is repugnant to many, it has had a positive impact on the Nauru economy. And if that money can be harnessed now, you know, we should focus on those positive dividends, whatever the initial rationale for that center being set up there might have been. I think we need to focus now on how that can actually be a source of development, and that has been a critical part of this equation.